Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Tuesday, October 28th, 2014, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Well, you guys should all give yourselves a round of applause. You took our story and you ran with it, and together we were able to stop an unlawful blood draw DUI checkpoint. Now, this was a day before this planned checkpoint last week. InfoWars published a story entitled No Refusal Blood Draw Checkpoint Planned for Ohio. And we highlighted in previous examples of how people have been forcibly strapped down by police and had their blood taken while they're screaming things like, what country do I live in? And this story prompted demonstrators to head to Clark County in order to warn motorists against participating in this checkpoint. Now, a WHIO-TV news report credited InfoWars with creating this backlash, and they noted that the issue then got a lot of attention, drawing protesters from around the state who believe these no-refusal checkpoints are unlawful search and seizures. Now, the Clark County Sheriff Gene Kelly was then bombarded with emails and social media messages, which were enough for him to decide that the Clark County Sheriff's Office will not participate in another no-refusal OVI checkpoint. So this is absolutely incredible news, and a lot of times people are always kind of writing in and commenting and saying, you guys are always reporting on all this terrible stuff and letting us know what's actually going on, but what do we do? And, well, you did it. That's it. Taking action. That's what you have to do, is take action. We really are more powerful than the new world order. It's just you got to get out from behind your computer screen. Now, obviously, another thing that we know is important in these elections, I know there's a lot of, you know, are the votes rigged and everything like that, but midterm elections are very important, and it's very important to participate. Now, next week, all 435 members of the House of Representatives are up for re-election. There is going to be 36 Senate slots and 36 governors as well. So obviously we know governors are one of the few politicians in the country with the ability to get anything done. So obviously that's a very important vote there. Doesn't matter what party you go with, what side of the line you choose, left, right, or middle. Just be sure that you choose the one who is going to be for freedom and liberty. That's who you want to cast your vote for. Now, Rebel Pundit released another video. You'll recall that we reported on another video that they released earlier this summer. Well, this video is showing them, these are black voters in Chicago. They're basically saying that they are fed up with the Democrats, fed up with black leadership. It's a very powerful video. I highly recommend you watch it. But they talk about the real issue of black-on-black crime, specifically the so-called black leadership that continues to trick them into voting for policies that hurt their community.
Black folks is in an abusive black leadership relationship.
We have to send a message. This is the time for us to send a message.
We always talking about what the Republicans ain't done for us or what they will do to hurt us. My life has been hurt by Democrats.
And we got in our mind that we always got to keep voting Democrat. You know,
look and see in your community, who are the real oppressors in our community?
Makes those communities disproportionately unemployed as well as impoverished. And they're saying, you know, you'll see those same black leaders rolling up to their really nice homes and their luxurious cars while they are tricking people in the community to vote for these really bad policies. So this is a very powerful video. You should check it out. Share it with your friends. Obviously, right before the election, it's so important. But it's really telling. The black community is waking up to the fact that they have sort of been the pocket voters, the loyal voting base for all of these bad policies for decades. And now they're fed up and they're saying, what's the point? What are we even voting for here? And obviously, as we pointed out, they're going to now be replaced with a new loyal voter base, the Hispanic vote, of course. Now, in that video, they do say that one of the only things that is being offered to the black community is abortion on demand. Well, as we have reported extensively, that is a deliberate plan to help cull the population in the black community. But this eugenics-propelled madness continues, and all of us are the target. Now, this is in the name, of course, of saving Mother Earth. The National Academy of Sciences has published a shocking report advocating draconian methods of population reduction. It's a white paper entitled Human Population Reduction is not a quick fix for environmental problems. It was released last month, and it presents a selection of scenarios to achieve reductions in human fertility in order to prevent climate change and threats to biodiversity and to help plan for a healthy future society. It envisions a mandatory Chinese-style global one-child policy. This is going to reduce the population globally. They want a sustainable number of 1 to 2 billion people. So this is a lot of people that are going to have to be exterminated. It even goes on to entertain the impact of world wars and global pandemics, wiping out 6 billion people. They think this is a, you know, potential threat that could help the environment by overpopulation. Now, the paper admits that, you know, even the notion of that is immoral. You shouldn't really consider that as an option. But it admits that these stressors would still not significantly reduce the population to that desired amount of 1 to 2 billion people. Now, Alex is always saying that they release their plans right to the public. They put it right out there in their white papers. You can go and you can read it, but they honestly think that we are too stupid to ever go and read anything that's coming out of the halls of academia, but you can go and read it for yourself. We've got the link to it right up there in that article at Infowars.com. And you can see that the shocking reality of this eugenics-propelled madness continues to this very day. It still pervades the minds of our best and brightest. So this is something else that you need to consider when you're going to the polls. What side of the line does your politician stand on with this whole Agenda 21? They might not even realize what the whole master plan is with Agenda 21. Now, coming up, we're going to talk to you a little bit more about Ebola. Now, Australia is basically shutting down their borders while we here are not doing that. The nurses and healthcare workers who are coming back are kind of complaining that they're not being treated like heroes. But is it not right that they should be given that mandatory quarantine? Well, we'll talk to you why and let you know why this is a little bit odd coming up.
Join InfoWars for continuing election coverage November 4th, starting at 6 p.m. Central. The InfoWars crew will be broadcasting live from the Central Texas Command Center, as well as reports from the field. We'll break the left-right paradigm and give the analysis of freedom or oppression. Go to PrisonPlanet.tv or InfoWars.com/election for the free feed.
Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder, backed by FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. All the toxins from the air, the food, the water, ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. Take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with OxyPowder. Secure your OxyPowder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Australia has become the latest nation to shut its borders and freeze all visas from West African countries. Now, it was announced that holders of permanent Australian visas who are based in West African countries would be subject to a mandatory 3-week quarantine process prior to their departure. And they say that thorough checks are also going to be carried out upon arrival into Australia. So they're being very thorough there. This is in stark contrast to that of the U.S. government, the Obama administration, still refusing to issue travel restrictions. And they argue that this is actually going to isolate the regions, will actually make the problem worse. But not even the healthcare workers who are working directly with Ebola-infected patients are having to undergo a quarantine. And in fact, nurse Casey Hickox, who was the first to be quarantined in New Jersey on Friday, she threatened to sue. She said that her rights are being violated. She was upset at the notion that healthcare workers weren't being hailed as heroes when they got back in the country. Now, I think they should be hailed as heroes, but what's the problem with giving yourself a quarantine? As a healthcare worker, your top priority should be to not pass this disease on to others. Well, records reveal that she works for the CDC. She works as an official epidemic intelligence service officer. So, of course, that could be one of the reasons why Governor Christie was so quick to lift this mandatory quarantine. Of course, her lawyer is a White House visitor. And, you know, so all of these things could have just helped to put pressure on the governor. Now, it's interesting to note that earlier this week, the nurse told CNN regarding a mandatory quarantine. She said, "We need to stress the fact that we don't need politicians to be making these kinds of decisions. We need public health experts to make these decisions." So this is exactly why people find it very curious that Obama appointed an attorney and a longtime Democratic operative to be the Ebola czar. You'll recall he has absolutely zero healthcare experience, and here he is dealing with a public health crisis. And now people want to know, where is the Ebola czar? Where is Ron Klain? Now, obviously, the issue of the states enforcing this mandatory quarantine, it would have been the perfect opportunity to see the Ebola response coordinator. But CNN's senior White House correspondent Jim Acosta said that what officials are saying is that he's going to be taking on more of a behind-the-scenes role, coordinating the response among these different agencies. So that's right, the most transparent administration ever. I'm sure that that's trademarked. The most transparent administration ever is going to be working behind the scenes to fix this public health crisis. Of course, they're going to say it's all to, make sure that nobody goes into a panic over Ebola. But a Nobel Prize winning doctor says that he backs the controversial Ebola quarantine. He, in fact, says that he would go even farther than that, being even more strict than these governors. This is Dr. Bruce Buettler, and he says that he favors it because it's not entirely clear that they can't transmit the disease. Now, he's referring to asymptomatic healthcare workers like Casey Hickox, and what the CDC says is that the virus can't be transmitted by those who aren't showing symptoms. But the doctor says that that might not be absolutely true because we don't have the numbers to support it. And in fact, in a study that was published online in late September by the New England Journal of Medicine, and it's backed by the World Health Organization, it shows that of the 4,000 plus Ebola cases that they studied, nearly 13% of the time, those infected with Ebola exhibited no fever at all. So the doctor says that even if someone is asymptomatic, you can't rely on people to report themselves if they get a fever. Even healthcare workers, they can be a little careless, such as the case what we saw with NBC's chief medical editor. She went and got soup. You know, she knew that she was under a mandatory 21-day quarantine, and still she went out and got soup. And of course, even putting them in a home quarantine doesn't mean that they aren't going to be around their family members, their children, or their friends. So even that isn't going far enough. But the fever argument isn't the only math that we need to check at the CDC. First, they say, you know, it's not airborne. Then they say, well, you know, it can travel up to 3 feet. But now the CDC, like the World Health Organization, they admit that Ebola can be spread through sneezing or coughing. Now, Mythbusters already demonstrated that sneezes can nail people almost 17 feet away. But engineers at MIT show that sneezes can actually travel up to 200 times farther than previously thought, and they can actually travel up to 20 feet. Now, the MIT researchers showed that coughs and sneezes have associated gas clouds, and that keeps their potentially infectious droplets aloft over much greater distances, meaning that there are droplets smaller than the ones that you can feel if someone were to sneeze on you. And they also point out that because these droplets are so small and they do remain airborne for quite some time, that these particles can pass through ventilation systems, which can transmit these particles, which is why if you have certain facilities that aren't equipped to deal with an Ebola virus, their ventilation systems, their filters, things like that might not be adequate in order to stop the transmission of these particles. And according to research that was conducted by the UK's Defence Science and Technology Laboratory, Ebola can survive for 7 weeks on glass in low temperatures. Now, you'll recall the CDC said it would just a few hours to maybe a few days. But basically, they're saying Ebola can survive for 7 weeks on glass in low temperatures. So, I mean, just think about that. If someone with Ebola sneezes on their hand and then uses that hand to push open a glass door, well, if it's a cold temperatures like you're going to see in New York and other states, well, that particle in its there in its liquid form can stay on that glass door for up to 7 weeks. But the CDC is just going to run with the fact that Ebola is not a threat. You can't catch it on a bus, even if that person sneezes on the bus window. And in fact, they are so confident that America is so exceptional and that they can cure this Ebola outbreak, they're thinking about bringing in non-citizens to treat them.
It needs to be recognized by the president and by you and others in the administration that when the president says that he's going to set a time limit and then consider taking actions himself, which many of us read to be the president again repeating, I have a pen and a cell phone, and if you don't act, I will, that makes doing immigration reform harder, not easier, because those who may like what the president decides to do administratively have less reason to negotiate the hard decisions to be made about how to enforce our immigration laws in the future. And those who do not agree with the president's position on immigration reform say, why should we negotiate if we can't trust the president to enforce the laws as they exist?
House Representative Bob Goodlatte has received information from inside President Barack Obama's administration detailing plans to ship non-U.S. citizens with Ebola into the United States to receive treatment.
If you are concerned about this problem spreading, and this is a deadly disease, that we're even concerned about the great health care workers when they come back not spreading it, we certainly shouldn't be bringing in the patients.
Goodlatte, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, wrote a letter to Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson.
I love this country. I care about the safety of our people. I believe in public service, and I remain loyal to you, Mr. President.
And Secretary of State John Kerry requesting any information on the plans. But those requests have gone unanswered. The White House also denied Goodlatte's request to impose a temporary ban on non-U.S. citizens traveling to the United States from the three African countries hardest hit by Ebola.
Don't panic. The news hit this morning. A Texas nurse who treated an infected patient tested positive for Ebola. And in California, a sick passenger on a flight from JFK to Los Angeles triggered an Ebola scare. In Boston, a man is in isolation at the hospital after complaining of Ebola-like symptoms.
That common sense request was not only denied, President Obama claims it won't make a difference.
If we institute a travel ban instead of the protocols that we put in place now, history shows that there is a likelihood of increased avoidance. And as a consequence, we could end up having more cases rather than less.
The Obama administration has already illustrated their preference to dangerously instigate an unyielding socialist position over the safety of American citizens. In 2013, Immigration and Customs Enforcement released into the United States 2,200 illegals, 629 of which that have criminal records ranging from repeated drunk driving offenses to aggravated felony, drug, sexual abuse, and homicide charges.
No one on that list was charged or convicted with murder, rape, or sexual abuse of a minor, were they?
They were not.
Was anyone charged or convicted of illicit trafficking in a controlled substance?
There were some with drug offenses. The individual I mentioned earlier, who is 68 and a lawful permanent resident.
Were any involved in child pornography?
Not of the ones that I am aware of the release, no.
So of the 2,228, you can testify that none of them were involved in child pornography?
To the best of my knowledge, I can testify the answer is no.
Well, to the best of your knowledge just means that you don't have any knowledge of it.
That information was leaked to the public only after USA Today made a Freedom of Information Act request. Although 418 charges of child sexual molestation and rape in North Carolina in 1 month alone went heavily unreported. As Obama waits until after the midterm elections to open the floodgates, what is driving the Obama administration's recklessness? Look no further than senior advisor to President Barack Obama, John P. Holdren. Holdren is the author of Ecoscience, the textbook that advocates putting drugs in the water supply to sterilize people, mandatory forced abortions, and a tyrannical eco-fascist dictatorship run by a planetary regime. Holdren's radical solutions to overpopulation are routinely discussed in the halls of the National Academy of Sciences. The National Academy of Sciences has published a shocking report which envisages a Chinese-style global one-child policy is the only means of reversing climate change and reducing global population to a sustainable number of 1 to 2 billion people. The white paper entitled Human Population Reduction is Not a Quick Fix for Environmental Problems, authored by the University of Adelaide's Corey Bradshaw and Barry Brook, even entertains the impact of world wars and global pandemics that wipe out 6 billion people as potential methods of combating the threat posed to the environment by overpopulation. Under one scenario, a global pandemic wipes out 6 billion people from the year 2041 onwards, resulting in the planet's population being reduced to 5.1 billion by the year 2100. However, this reduction of 2 billion people compared to current figures is not sufficient to accomplish the level of human culling desired by the authors, who note that even future events that rival or plausibly exceed past societal cataclysms cannot guarantee small future population sizes without additional measures such as fertility control. The paper is edited by Stanford University's Paul R. Ehrlich, a perennial advocate of population reduction whose dire proclamations about environmental catastrophes as a result of overpopulation have been proven wildly inaccurate time and time again.
This will confuse you, because how can then the total population grow like this if the children doesn't increase? Where will all these adults come from?
John Bound for InfoWars.com.
DNA Force.
When cells become toxic, they die early and aging sets in.
DNA Force.
No one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. Just one of the key compounds, BioPQQ, is backed by major clinical studies.
DNA Force.
We now have the synergistic solution. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
DNA Force.
The globalist social engineers are not just targeting us with propaganda. They are manipulating our genetics. We are being targeted at every level by estrogen mimickers that lower our testosterone and other hormones and natural compounds that the body needs. After consulting top doctors, nutritionists, pharmacists, and others, we have developed what I believe is the ultimate non-GMO organic super male vitality formula sourced from powerful organic herbs and then concentrated for maximum potency. Super Male Vitality was developed to activate your body's own natural processes instead of using synthetic chemicals. Super Male Vitality by InfoWars Life is so powerful that I only take half the recommended dose. For a limited time, we are offering 15% off Super Male Vitality at InfoWarsLife.com to introduce you to this powerful supplement. Visit InfoWarsLife.com today to secure your Super Male Vitality. InfoWarsLife.com.
Well, Google is honoring Dr. Salk today in honor of Dr. Salk's 100th birthday. He is the doctor who pioneered the first polio vaccine in 1954. And their doodle shows kids holding up signs saying, "Thank you for the vaccines, Dr. Salk. Yay, thank you for the vaccines." Now, just a little history on this. Dr. Salk pioneered this first polio vaccine by performing a double-blind experiment on school children. The school children, for their participation, were given a sweet and a polio pioneer certificate. The results were announced the following year, and they said that the vaccine is safe and effective, which is what they're still using those buzzwords of safe and effective. And it is credited with completely eradicating polio in the U.S. by 1979. Yay, vaccines. Now, aside from the fact that some graphs show that infectious diseases were already on the decline prior to the advent of vaccines, let's just take a look at the dark history of these polio vaccines. Now, from 1953 to 1963, the Merck Drug Company vaccines had deliberately contaminated SV40 virus was in their vaccines, and they continued to give it out. Now, for years, researchers suggested that millions of vials of the polio vaccine that infected individuals, that caused tumors. Molecular evidence of these SV40 infections were showing up in children born after 1982, and some experts now suggest that this virus might have remained in the polio vaccine up until 1999. Now, Dr. Maurice Hilleman, he's a Merck scientist. He admits on tape that these vaccines were tainted with leukemia and other kinds of cancers, and they just gave it to the Russians.
So I brought African greens, and I didn't know we were importing AIDS virus at the time.
And it was you who introduced AIDS virus to the country.
No, that's right. But yellow fever vaccine had leukemia virus in it, and, this is in the days of very crude science. I just think this virus may have some long-term effects. Mm-hmm. And he said, what? I said, cancer.
I love it. Go ahead.
The jokes that were going around was, gee, we would win the Olympics because the Russians would all be loaded down with tumors. This is where the vaccine was being tested. This was right.
Now, at one time, the CDC's website admitted that they knew about this SV40 being in the polio vaccines. But, of course, that fact sheet that linked the polio vaccine to cancer was sent down the memory hole. The site scrubbed a page that admitted this. The vaccine that was actually administered from 1955 to 1963 to over 98 million Americans, and that it was contaminated with SV40. Now, the pages, of course, are still available through Google's cache system, but the vaccine was discovered to contain the monkey cancer virus SV40 in 1960, but the existing polio vaccine stocks were not recalled and reused until 1963, and the CDC admits that on that page. Now, this means that the CDC was, for a period, consciously dispersing these vaccines that were known to have a possible link to cancer, including to tens of millions of people in other countries, such as the UK, Australia, and the former Soviet Union. Now, a Loyola University scientist says that it was possible that the Soviet Union's polio vaccine was contaminated until the early 80s, and it was probably exported to China, Japan, and several countries in Africa, meaning hundreds of millions of people could have been exposed. So, of course, if this was knowingly administered for years after the fact, there's no telling what's in vaccines today. So would they even have a problem recalling a vaccine if they found out that it was contaminated with something? Now, we've reported in the past, rather than throw away their contaminated drugs, Bayer just gave their AIDS-infected drugs to Africa. And then, of course, it later came out that they did this. Now, a 2009 article from the Boston Globe, it was originally titled Polio Surge in Nigeria After Vaccine Virus Mutates. Now, this was, obviously, if you go to that page now, it's been removed or deleted, of course. But it reported that polio was spreading in Nigeria, and health officials said in some cases that it's caused by the vaccine that's used to fight it. They say that experts have long believed epidemics that are unleashed by a vaccine's mutated virus wouldn't last, since the vaccine only contains a weakened virus strain, but that assumption is coming under pressure. Some experts now say that once viruses from vaccines start circulating, they can become just as dangerous as wild viruses. The only difference is that this virus was originally in a vaccine vial. Now, this is exactly what we are seeing with other viruses. Of course, they're reporting a resurgence of whooping cough, enterovirus, measles, mumps, rubella. But of course, it's a little bit of a mutated version, and these versions are more virulent. But the industry wants to blame it on parents who aren't getting their children vaccinated, even though in some, if not most of the cases of children that are coming down with these new mutated forms, they're kids who have been vaccinated for measles and mumps and rubella. So according to this graph, it shows that death rates from infectious diseases were already on the decline prior to the advent of vaccines. So what is the true reason for, you know, them pushing this and saying that vaccines are responsible for the decline? Well, from his book, Health and Healing, Dr. Andrew Weil best answers it with this statement. He says, scientific medicine has taken credit that it does not deserve for some advances in health. Now, most people believe that victory over the infectious diseases of the last century came with the invention of immunizations. But in fact, they were in decline well before that these became available. And the result, of course, is better methods of sanitation, sewage disposal, and distribution of food and water. But, of course, the propaganda in favor of immunizations continues to win the minds of the government. It's crippled the minds of the masses of people. They're still spinning this that you must vaccinate your children. And like we always say here at InfoWars, read the package insert, ask your doctor for the package insert, make your own educated decision on whether or not vaccines are truly going to help you and your family. Well, that's it for the InfoWars Nightly News. Stay tuned because after the news, we're going to air some of the entries to our Ebola contest, Tyranny is the Disease. The entry portion of this contest has ended, and Alex is set to announce the winner on October 31st. You know how these things go. We have a lot of submissions to go through, so that's coming up right after the news. Thank you for tuning into the show tonight, and we'll see you here again tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central.
From the water table to our soils to the atmosphere itself, our world is becoming more and more toxic each and every day. But it's not just the air outside that's toxic. Indoor air has been shown to have 2 to 5 times higher concentrations of pollutants than even outdoor air. And most Americans spend 90% of their time inside using toxic chemicals within their homes. There are more than 42 million smokers in the United States. Well over 1,000 types of mold and mildew linked to numerous conditions. And don't forget the fact that 6 million Americans live with pets they're allergic to as well. When I began to research these statistics, it was clear to me it was time to start cleansing my lungs in order to combat the toxic environment that we cannot escape but that we can fight back against. Made with organic and wild cultivated herbs and manufactured in the USA, the new InfoWars Life Lung Cleanse is here in a convenient spray bottle that can be brought with you throughout any toxic environment. Now available exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
Owner at the Kiosk in Nashville, Tennessee. And not only do I spread awareness through our financial education and through our products here, I also wanted to spread awareness on the Ebola crisis that's happening right now. And through Alex Jones and InfoWars.com, we've been able to do that. So we actually created this poster and wanted to put it here in the mall because I believe that this mall is one of the busiest malls here in Opry Mills, Nashville. And the only way to really spread awareness is to get it in front of a lot of people. And I believe as we collectively come together, we can take personal responsibility and accountability for our own lives to start changing the world, right? Like Gandhi said, be the change that you want to see in the world. So as you guys can see, we're serious about spreading awareness. If you're watching this video right now and if you're Alex Jones, I just want to tell you I appreciate you. I appreciate all the hard work that you put in every single day, day in and day out. And I'm on your side, man, and I'm here to do whatever it takes to free humanity from the oppression of the oppressors that are literally dumbing us down right now. So whatever I can do to help, I'm going to do whatever it takes as a business owner and as an entrepreneur. So I just want to tell everybody, thank you so much for watching this video. We're going to continue to educate and most importantly, empower people to take control of their lives and spread awareness so this issue doesn't become a pandemic. Okay, love you guys. Talk to you soon.
It's time for you to wake up. Put an end to the Ebola virus.
You want public health? Here's your public health. Ladies and gentlemen, tyranny is the disease. Ebola should be treated like a national security threat. So where are all these agencies whose jobs are to prevent deaths of American citizens? Come to Ebola. No, we're going to show everybody who's responsible.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.